Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Whopper of a Wednesday edition, and it's gotten a lot better since James Santel has joined us and generously agreed to stick around. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney and the host of Morning Cannoli, Saturday mornings 9 to 11 on the Shaw, originating from Waukesha, played statewide on the Devil Radio, etc. If you don't have the app, go get the app. You can listen anywhere. Get the Devil Radio app. Jim, appreciate you sticking around. Obviously, it has been a murderer's row for the U.S. Supreme Court. We've had all sorts of rulings. It's not just the, you know, overturning of Roe v. Wade. Jim, there's lots of rulings. And tomorrow is Breyer's last day on the court, right? You know, the math's not going to change, but the makeup of the court about to change. So, Jim, let's start with some of the big rulings. You know, we should all be praying on the 50-yard line, apparently.
Oh, God.
Right. This is Bremerton. This is out of Seattle. And we have a football coach who is, in fact, praying on the 50-yard line, plainly a public institution, a public event in a public school. And we have his team members coming around him in that setting. This is one of those cases where the Supreme Court, as it has done in other cases, or another case just last week, consistently siding with religion and finding that the free exercise clause of the First Amendment effectively trumps, overcomes, if you will, the other portion of the First Amendment, which prohibits the establishment of a religion by a public institution. No, Congress can't make any law establishing religion viewed generally as anything public, anything of a government nature. This Supreme Court has consistently sided in favor of that free exercise right. And this is just the latest situation which that has been affirmed. John Roberts has always said that the analysis is about whether or not the action by the government discriminates against religion. And again, an awful lot of criticism for that, plenty of some people supporting it. The difficulty with that is that it doesn't really do a balancing test between the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. And if you think about it, virtually any time that the government says, you know what, we're not going to establish a religion, we're not going to go down this road of supporting religion, there may be some level of discrimination there, right? You're going to stop a religion of some kind from doing something it wants to do. That can't be the test, and yet it is. Carson versus Macon, just last week, same kind of thing in Maine, had to do with whether or not parents of students in Maine wanting to send their students, their children, to private religious schools do in fact have the right to get state funding for that. In Maine, you can send your children to private schools if in fact the area that you're in does not have public schools. The question was whether or not you can send them to religious schools. Once again, majority of the Supreme Court, led by John Roberts, says, yes, absolutely, you can do that. Maine, you cannot prohibit parents from doing that. This is a trend that we have seen going back several years. It continues, and it raises an awful lot of other considerations out there, opening doors in all directions, as we have seen, as people have begun to think, okay, well, if in fact my religion is the primacy, the primary focus of this, and the government can't do anything to prohibit me from engaging in my religious belief, that opens up other opportunities in other areas to advocate. And so I think the Supreme Court has not only gone in the opposite direction on the cases themselves, but also given people, if you will, in other areas of social engagement and civil rights, some options here for future arguments based upon these very cases in Bremerton and Carson versus Macon. just last week.
Well, some of us find ourselves as defendant for a deviltry action a couple of years ago. So Jim will let you know how it goes, this new interpretation of the Constitution. I was recently criticized. I'll call myself criticized as a birdie bro. You know, we didn't believe enough in Hillary Clinton, although I did vote for Clinton in the general election, not with enough enthusiasm, apparently. And Hillary didn't get to appoint, or perhaps it was the argument over Merrick Garland. But anyways, let's say I'll take credit for losing one Supreme Court seat, unfairly, unjustly taken away from Merrick Garland. Never got his confirmation hearings. These rulings in probability, Jim, still would have come down 5-4. Am I wrong about that? Would the difference in the math of the court, would that have perhaps pushed Roberts back to the 5-4 majority on the other side? Or do you agree with me? It didn't matter if it was a 6-3. So many of these issues were ripe in the opinion of a Clarence Thomas.
Right, exactly. We still had an awful big group of Supreme Court justices. We're going down this road already. We can't exactly say what the future would have been. Plainly, a Hillary Clinton presidency would have resulted in different people taking the bench and that sort of thing, both at lower courts and the Supreme Court. But it's a difficult thing to say. And again, I would offer that John Roberts, to your point, has always tried to find that middle ground. Look at what he did in Dobbs. He's trying to find that middle ground, both to support Roe versus Wade, but also support the state law that says 15 weeks is enough. John Roberts has always been the key here. On these religious cases, as you said, he has always voted in favor, as I said, of this exercise view. And so I tend to agree that it would not have made a huge amount of difference. But in other areas, plainly the fact that we've got these three Trump appointees now standing in the back row, if you will, in addition to the Alitos and others, that would have been problematic.
And Jim Santel, Roberts has completely lost control of this conservative court. He's not running the court anymore. The inmates are running the asylum. And the credibility of the court, at least in the opinion of the public, is plunging, Jim. People don't find this to be a credible court. And that was the case before Roe v. Wade.
Right. And you know, we've talked about this in other areas. What is the greater concern about this? The greater concern is that as people more and more, whether it's on privacy rights, abortion, the guns case, Bruin, basically saying that, yes, you've got a right to carry your weapon in public. We've got two more cases coming up tomorrow in which we're probably the same Supreme Court is going to say that greenhouse gases, President Biden, don't have the capacity to regulate those. Asylum, remain in Mexico, that's okay. All of these kinds of things. Americans look at a court and say, you know what? You are too far afield from the mainstream. There is an argument on the other side, and you are no longer even considering that. And for that reason, I'm not going to regard you as a legitimate institution. And that is the great consequence of what we're seeing right now. These decisions themselves, hugely important for their own subject matter. But the greater issue is Americans looking at the court and saying, you're not legitimate. I don't need to do what you say. I don't need to follow what you're directing me to do. And that's when the Republic begins to crumble. That's the great concern about this. And I think John Roberts perhaps appreciates this. He has lost control, but it's too late. And even with Ketanji Brown Jackson taking the oath of office sometime tomorrow, starting the new court on first Monday of October, she will replace Breyer. It is not going to change the ideological bent, if you will, of the Supreme Court. And we're going to continue to see these kinds of things for at least the remainder of the Biden term, unless something else extraordinary happens.
Legitimate institution. Jim, John Roberts started an investigation after the leak of the Roe v. Wade ruling immediately, but Ginni Thomas is still, you know, out there who wanted to clear up all the misconceptions and looks forward to talking to J6. No investigation there. The J6 wants to talk to her. And although less than 2 weeks ago, Ginni Thomas was all down for talking to J6, apparently now, her attorney says she's not going to do that. Is it important? Is it imperative for the J6 to get to the bottom of what a sitting Supreme Court justice's wife has been doing, perhaps with their shared bank account, Jim, in this communication with the coup plotters?
It is important not only for that specific person, but also fills out the story, right? She plainly was having communications with people at least in Arizona about the elector situation. She is part of that story. It is also important, of course, for, I think that's the predicate of your question, I would say John Roberts also has an obligation. I know justices, judges are not, do not think of themselves as being public figures. This is so critically important to the legitimacy of his court. It still has a name on it. And if he does not, in the coming term, do something publicly to begin to establish the kinds of ethical rules to prevent a Clarence Thomas from deciding cases on the same kinds of things that his wife is advocating for, that is going to be hugely problematic. Then he is also responsible for his losing control and the further diminution of the view, the regard that, that the Americans have for the court. He needs to do something about that issue. If not specifically investigating, at a minimum, establishing more standards that do in fact apply at lower courts, they've got to apply to the highest justices in our country.
Jim, we just have 2 minutes left here. I want to get your take. As the J6 wrapped up their testimony yesterday, they put up some screenshots of texts received by witnesses. Apparently, Cassidy Hutchin received one of them. Is this witness tampering? Hey, you know, just so you know, President, he reads the transcripts. He knows, and we know you're going to do the right thing and be loyal. You know, those kinds of things. Is this witness tampering? I mean, what happens here, and what was the point of the J6 committee doing that right at the end, in your opinion?
Sure. Once again, it is telling the American public what's going on out there. It does, in fact, show what again? Evidence of guilt, right? You don't try to stop somebody from testifying unless, in fact, you're saying, don't tell them what the truth is, right? So that's number one. Number two, I'm going to go even further. Let's talk about obstruction of justice, right? You're not dangling pardons. The legislature can't do that. But you are, in fact, telling people, you're intimidating them. You're suggesting to them that bad things will happen if they testify. That's obstruction of justice. We saw that in the Mueller investigation, right? It's happened before. It's happening once again.
James Hintel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis. Saturdays 9 to 11, but not this week. Jim, take off the fourth weekend. Come back next weekend and probably come back as a frequent flyer on the Devil's Advocates. I'm sure we'll ask you back soon, sir.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. Thanks so much. Been a great delight.
Thank you, Jim.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to go to the phone lines, open them up for you at 844-967-2789. You know, if you didn't call us right now, something bad could happen. And that'd be a shame. Come back, more Devils!
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.